FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And Kathy Dawes again with Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Associate Professor of Cultural Geography and 537-1350. Wanting to add just something brief, I guess. Of course, we were talking about Japan, and I know, you know, as we talk about some of those different numbers, anything else you're wanting to add on that note before we move on?
Yeah, and I focused specifically on Japan because it is the leading country dealing with this older population, the skewed aging population. But much of Europe, South Korea, and even parts of China, ironically, with their one-child policy, are dealing with an aging population. And so it's not just Japan. That was the main thing I wanted to add.
Now, we hear a lot these days about really close to home here, rural America and the Great Plains. And is that kind of what's happening here, could
yes,
we say?
Yes. And there are differences. And so we should point that out at the very beginning. But if we look specifically at the state of Kansas, of the 105 counties within the state, 79 of those counties lost population, decreased in population size between the year 2000 and 2010, meaning 75% of the counties decreased in population size. And the economy in many of these counties is heavily based on agriculture, agricultural practices or support services. And the average age of farmers today, I just read this last week, is 54 years of age. And some farmers have said that, you know, I may have another 5 to 10 years of farming that I want to continue this pursuit. And the question that a lot of people in the United States are asking is, well, what's the future then of farming in rural America? And certainly the Great Plains and in parts of Kansas, this is a big issue. But the bigger one is dealing with population decrease is a concern because of shrinking populations, a declining tax base, lack of youth workers who are able to and willing to fill jobs, closing of schools, health care for older folks, and maintaining hospitals and pharmacies and attracting doctors and nurses. It's many of the things that you guys have talked about on KMAN all the time, and I hear it about in Focus. And so all of these issues are ones that many of rural Kansas are facing within the state.
We're pretty fortunate, I think, here in Manhattan. And I was sharing with you during the break that I actually know of several people, you know, having babies right now in the Manhattan area. And I know even with some of the superintendents of schools that I talked to, that they had a little baby boom, at least in the last couple of years. They're lower level students. They've had quite a grouping there.
Yeah, we saw the big baby boom population, that cohort between 1946 and 1964. And then when the baby boomers had their children, there was another boomlet. And then their grandchildren are being born. And so there's waves of little growths. And it is true that some places in Kansas are growing. Most of those, though, are near the larger cities like Wichita and Kansas City and the Hutchinson area, and some college towns. Not all, but some college towns like Manhattan and Lawrence and Hayes are growing. And then you've got some communities in southwestern Kansas or in south Kansas, southern part of Kansas. Garden City, Dodge City, Liberal, Ulysses, Hugoton are growing. And in this case, it gets back to that third factor that leads to population growth, and that's immigration. And immigration is bringing a lot of cultural change. Change is always difficult. It's never easy. But if we can see the benefits of immigration, there is hope for a number of communities for the future.
And you're right, it does change. I had an opportunity to go and sit in at the courthouse yesterday and heard several different arraignments and, you know, hearings, that type of thing. It's the first time this has happened that I've been there where they actually had a translator there during the proceedings. I thought, I wonder why that guy's standing so – and then as he was interpreting everything for the gentleman while the judge was saying things and the county attorney and such. And it was interesting that – I mean, we're starting to see more and more of that right here in our own area.
Right. And another good example is down in Emporia. They had the Somali population for 4 or 5 years, and that brought a lot of change to Emporia, and they had to deal with some challenges.
Well, we only have about four or five minutes left, so I guess we need to start thinking about wrapping up a little. And I know that, you know, let's take a look. We've kind of taken a look at where we dwindle in population. Maybe on the other side, what happens with a country with excessively high fertility rate?
Yeah. Countries like Niger, Uganda, Malawi, many of the African countries are perfect case studies of where the fertility rate exceeds the replacement fertility. In Niger, the average age is 15.1 years of age. In Zambia, 16.7. Okay, now the listeners are probably saying, well, what about the United States? Where are we at? Well, we're at 37.6 years of age for the average age. And Kathy during the break, we're talking about Manhattan, Kansas, and if you look at the permanent population, the census population, we're into the upper 30s, low 40s for our average age. But when you include the college population in Fort Riley, that average age drops to the 20s. So there's some countries, though, that have got very, very young populations and are still growing quite rapidly. Many of these countries are in the midst of, at least in the continent of Africa, in the midst of internal turmoil. The economy is not keeping up with the population growth, and so people are compelled to leave. Young people have fewer opportunities, and so there's a lack of schools and a lack of employment, and this has given consternation to the governments because they're having to deal with all of the young people who just don't have the opportunities. And then the one thing that we haven't talked about is the how the environment is impacted, maybe overgrazing or overusing of land. And so there's all sorts of issues that the continent of Africa and the countries in the continent of Africa are wonderful case studies for.
Are there any fixes? What's the answer? I mean, I always like to end on a positive note. So last couple minutes, maybe we'll try to go that direction.
Yeah, the one thing that the literature talks about is that improving the status of women is the key to reducing fertility rates. And women need to be in positions in life where they have got a greater say in how their bodies are used, their choices of how many children they want to have, family planning opportunities. There's so many things that that improving the status of women help to contribute to the control or at least the opportunity for reducing fertility rates. Women are the ones who transfer culture. They're the ones who train both their daughters and their sons on correct practices, cultural practices, and so if we can improve the status of women, that's the key to reducing fertility and hopefully for improving quality of life in countries.
Well, on that positive note, again, it's been a pleasure to have with us today Dr. Jeffrey Smith, Associate Professor of Cultural Geography. We'll take a break. We're going to be hearing from Dr. Brett Gilsdorf, and he's with Dentistry by Design. We're going to get some Halloween candy suggestions. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial.